Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What up, people? It's your boy DJ Obi, and I just sipped some tea with Tami San. Make sure you check it out on YouTube and everywhere else. Peace.
Yo, guys, today's going to be vibes on vibes because I have my friend and DJ, DJ Obi, on my couch. Just put your hands together for my guy. Today, let me be honest, serious one.
Today, we're catching cruise from beginning to end. How you doing? Good to see
you,
man.
You think you know your friends until you go on Google and find out that their name is Levi.
Strong name.
Obi, your name is Levi.
My name is Levi. Yeah. Strong name. I'm named after my dad.
Really?
Levi Ajonoma Jr. Yeah.
Wow.
But based on Igbo man things, Obina came first.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in my family out of 8 children that has an Igbo name as a first name. So there's Amy, Sarah, Michael, Benjamin, Becky, Daniel, and Debbie. Obina.
Why? Why?
I mean, how else was he going to name his first son?
Right.
You understand?
But you know what Levi means, right? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, was it temple worshippers or something like that?
No, I think the Levites were the musicians in, like, yeah, in the Old Testament and everything.
So yes, so he didn't go. He wasn't far off, and he was a creative as well.
Oh,
very
right.
Strong creative. Rest in peace to my dad, Dr. Olivia Jonoma, who I pretty much took after. Honestly speaking, I admired my dad so much. So from a young age, I knew what I wanted to do. In life, I knew I wanted to be like my dad. So I knew I had to go through this school thing.
Was he doing music?
No, he didn't do music. But he was in, funny enough, my dad actually played instruments, if I remember. Now, my dad, there was one time he surprised us in his office. I think he had a good day that day, and he started playing the guitar, singing, praise and worship.
And you guys didn't know that he could do that?
We didn't know till that day. Yeah.
Wow. Shocking. Man.
Hide everything. Very creative guy. Yeah, man.
Nice one. So maybe you have a calling on your life.
I know that I do.
Yeah.
I know that I do. At some point, I could call you to... I'm not even joking, but I was a child pastor.
Stop.
I'm dead ass.
Obi.
I'm dead ass. I'm dead ass.
Obi, wait.
I was a child pastor. My ministry was end time. Teresa, why are you shouting? My ministry was entered.
I'm trying to connect both.
Ah, bro.
This adult and that child.
Now me, the lead assembly. That time for school, where they did praise and worship, where they did prayer, where they did...
Obi Ajonoma, come and lead praise and worship.
Come and lead praise. I was in the choir. Bro, I'm a minister.
Yes.
Yes. Of the gospel. So I know.
So now we can call you point. Apostle in the marketplace. Right now, because in the streets right
at
now.
At some point it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Know that. I know it.
Voila. I'm happy about that. You went to watch the match.
Nigeria Ghana.
How was it? Were you heartbroken?
Funny enough, that was my first live sporting event. I've never, even all my Yankee years, I've never been to like a basketball game, like maybe college for basketball or something like that.
I've never even been to a game in my life.
You understand? So that was my first time, man. Bro, Disaster, bro.
Did you leave before the drama started happening?
The drama started... what you guys saw was just a continuation of the drama. The drama started from that morning. Traffic coming... When I landed in Abuja, traffic trying to get into the city from, you know... Because when you drive through the gate, the Abuja gate, the stadium is right there. So there was traffic from that point backing up. Because then civil servants were closing early to be able to watch the match.
Right.
Then, you know, you got to the stadium. Nothing was organized. Nothing. What I mean, nothing. Nothing was organized at all. I wanted to throw a quick shade based on the Pepsi ambassador. If Pepsi was handling certain things,
well,
Pepsi would have organized it properly.
Well,
you know, but yeah, man, it was a disaster. And then at some point, when me and my guys thought that, oh, we finally made it to our box suite, you know, even though AC no work, there was no refreshments, nothing. Like, ah, at least we're in. Match was literally about to start. We were taking snaps. Oh, look at us. I see. But 2 minutes after that snap, 200 people rushed into that suite, bro. I'm not joking. Like, in fact, maybe more than 200. We went from being six of us to just heads.
Wait, like, were tickets sold to those people?
No. See, so that was the thing. It now made it feel so annoying and so... I don't know. You've seen it online. People are complaining. Yeah. Why did I buy this ticket? Why did I, bro? The box suite is 1.5. You pay for that. You still bought, and it came with 10 tickets, right? But then when it almost was like they just let the floodgates open. They just opened the gates and everybody. I had friends that at some point during the game, they just called me. Oh, I'm at the stadium. People that said they were not coming, that were watching the match.
Nigerian thing.
They just pulled up and they were in the stadium. How did they get in? They had no tickets. They had no nothing. They just walked in. So the whole thing was a disaster from jump, honestly speaking. I heard they were supposed to be 25K, but they went over capacity. The capacity is 60K. They hit the 60K and still almost touched 70 or possibly even past 70K, bro. So I'm sure FIFA is going to fine Nigeria based on that, outside of the riots that was happening and all of that, you know. But truthfully, just as Nigeria is, it's chaotic, but it's fun. So it was a fun experience.
Yeah.
It was fun just seeing, you know, the people... shouting, football fans, and to some extent it was patriotic as well, because I don't think I've ever seen that many Nigerians come out to feel proud about something, you know, except for answers. But you know, but it was very patriotic, and at the end of the day, it was an experience. It was fun, but it could have been better. It could have been way better.
I mean, we lost someone, one of the officials, rest his soul,
from the stampede. It was, you know, it was so sad. When I go home, and so I didn't stay to the end. I left at like the 75th minute or something like that, because I knew with the amount of crowd in the stadium, I didn't want to follow everybody to leave, you know. And I feel like this VVIP treatment that people get, you know, our politicians, government officials, is ridiculous, you know. I don't know. I feel like there's Nigeria and there's Nigeria. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so terrible because they made no provision for anybody else but VVIPs.
Yeah.
Or the dignitaries, the delegates. You know what I'm saying? There was nothing else for anybody to... food, drinks. It was just... It was
even Jollof was saying that they promised you guys food from the beginning.
Bro, I said the suite was 1.5. Suite like this. Box suite. Empty. No AC. Fridge empty. Nothing. Thank God the toilet was working. Yeah.
Seriously. In this country,
bro, it was terrible. But at the end of the day, we made it work. Nigerians, we always push through.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
That's our
thing.
Talent.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
We'll
make
survive.
It work. So we did. We made it work. We just, because at the end of the day, six of us against, what, 250, 300 people that rushed into us, we cannot, we're not going to drag it. So we all just
maintain. No, what this match finished.
Bro, you know.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, man. But nice. I'm happy that I'm hearing now that we actually qualified through some technicality.
Is it?
That's what I heard, but I'm still trying to confirm it.
Congratulations, Nigeria.
Congrats. Cheers.
Let's talk about your career as a DJ, my brother. So was DJing always in the works for you? Did you always know you're going to be a DJ, or eventually?
I knew I was always going to be in entertainment because, like I said, I wanted to be like my dad. So my dad, if you Google my dad,
what's Google him after this podcast.
Yeah, don't worry. If you Google my dad, he started out in the East with the radio station in Imo State, went to the States to do his, you know, the university, master's, PhD. and came back in 89 with us, four of us. And went on to do Morning Ride on NTA 2 Channel 5.
He was that guy?
Yes, he was that guy. My dad was, for lack of better description, my dad was the Larry King of Nigeria.
I love it.
He did Morning Ride. He did his own show, Sunday show on NTA 10, right? That was
there. Yeah.
That was running for like 13, 14 years. And at some point, my dad was on TV and radio every day of the week.
Wow.
So Monday he had Insurance Today, Tuesday he had another show, Wednesday, Thursday was some, you know, business shows. You have one business show, Insurance Today, teach you about insurance, teach you about business. Then Friday was Golden World of Entertainment. Then Saturday on the radio was Open House Party, which was everybody's
favorite. He did that too.
Yes.
So you were always exposed to that.
Always around a TV set, VTR room, you know. I've grown up in this space, yeah. You know. Then Sunday, he did Sunday show as well. So it was a no-brainer, you know. And it was always exciting because he always put our names on the credits because we'd always contribute to like current affairs.
Like research for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
To give him gist, you know. We'll record all those award shows to let him know whose performance was hard, who won what.
Wow. Because he will use that on radio the next day.
He'll use that on radio, or he'll take the clips, edit, put it on the TV
so
show.
You've always been in this system.
So literally, I've always been in the system.
So I was going to ask if you had support from your parents, but with this thing you've said.
My dad was also a very, very, very strong Christian. So like I've said, I think at some point I'm going to, you know, mount a pulpit, but my dad was very, very don't worry, bro.
What God cannot do does not exist.
Thank you. He gets so my dad was pretty much, if my dad wasn't in the entertainment industry, he would have been a pastor, honestly speaking.
That type of guy.
Yes. So as much as he was in the entertainment industry, he wasn't about the entertainment industry. He really just handled it as work, as passion, because that's what he loved to do. And, you know, so truthfully, when I started DJing, he wasn't necessarily for it, even though he did buy me my first set of turntables.
Mm.
But when he came back from that trip, because I was in the States, when he came back from that trip, it's almost like he called his pastor to just be like, hey, I just did this for me. And I don't know what they told him, but he called me and said, see, that thing, pack it, burn it, trade it.
Because you're going into the world.
Yes.
To play worldly music.
I never did. Anytime he was coming to the States to
so you were in school at the time when
I
you
was
started?
In school. I started when I was 19.
What were you studying at the time?
Mass communication, broadcasting, and print media.
So if you're not going to be a DJ, you're probably going to be like an on-air presenter.
That's what I'm saying. I would have definitely been in the entertainment space, either behind the scenes or on camera.
So why did you fall in love with DJing?
Jimmy Jack.
Shout out to DJ Jimmy Jack.
Daddy Jimmy, Uncle Jimmy, however you want to call him. So when I was young, my dad used to do a lot of work with Nigerian breweries.
Mm.
And they had, do you remember TBS? They used to have Carnival. And Star Trek, all these big shows, you know. So one day he took us with him. I can't remember which one exactly it was, but it was at TBS. And as we were walking in, it was a sea of people. I was just like, this is a packed event. I think that was one of the first times he actually took us to like one of his gigs, you know. So as we're walking in, he's talking to his friends and we're standing there and the crowd is just raving and they're hailing Jimmy Jatt on the stage.
Mm.
And I still remember the mix. Till this day, that mix is what made me say, you know what that guy did, I want to learn it. So we walk in and he's talking to his guys, you know, checking in how we do now when we see each other outside, you know, and everyone's hailing Jimmy Jad. Oh, Jimmy Jad, so welcome to the stage, Jimmy Jad. And he starts playing and Dangerous, Busta Rhymes Dangerous just dropped. And there was this group, there used to be this group called Black Girl, and they had a song called 90s Girl. So he was playing 90s Girl, and there's a point in 90s Girl where it says, hold up, wait a minute. And so when he did that, he said, hold up, wait a minute. The crowd went nuts. Like, when I mean nuts, like, it was to the point where it shook me like, oh, are we safe? Like, the crowd went mad.
In Lagos here?
TBS. I want to say this was like, I don't know, when did Buzz, when did Dangerous go? 96, maybe 97?
This was TBS in 96.
Yes, bro. That's what I'm telling you.
I was born in 96.
There's that.
Wow. Yes, so that's bro. I'm like, which song? But it's waiting.
Bro, no, oh my goodness.
My senior colleague.
Oh man, but yeah, but that's how it happened. When he did that mix, I was sold. So from that point, I always remember that, you know. Yeah. And so when I went on to uni, broke uni student, you know, trying to make extra funds. Let me say, Popsy, you know, they send money, but it's just like, I have to be accountable for what the money he's sending. So I need some extra funds that I don't need to be accountable for. You understand? So I first thought about becoming a party promoter. But then the Igbo man in me kicked in. And I was just like, I might not make money. I might make money. What's that? I don't understand that. You understand? So I thought about the DJ. And I was like, you know, someone in my class was explaining to me how, you know, DJs are dope. And I was like, yeah, I remember, you know, Jimmy Jab, blah, blah, blah. So I decided to buy my first set of decks.
Turntable?
Yeah. And just go with the passion. I trained myself. I didn't go to like DJ school.
Wow.
I didn't go. Yeah, just because I'd been around it. So I used my ear to listen to my mixes to make sure, you know, because I know what Jimmy Jatt was doing. I know what FX2, DJ FX2 in Ray Power was playing, Shai Shilon. I know what they were playing, you know. So if I can mix like that, then I think I'll be fine. And literally that's how I learned. And I just
So you're built playing it up in school there. At the time.
I started doing house parties. My first gig, I blew my speakers.
How?
I was too loud.
Right.
Yeah. So it was even from that point I started learning about it to know that, okay, this thing is not just plug and play. There's some technicality to it. Mm. I have to know that, okay, I can't play too loud so I don't blow my speakers.
Right.
I have to play with the right equipment, play at the right volume or EQ it properly and all that stuff. But I started with house parties. And then obviously from house parties, you meet a lot of people. Before you know, you start meeting this student union president or this ASA president or this whatever president. And they're like, yo, we're having a cultural night.
All the gigs were in school.
So from house parties, it started going into schools where, you know, they'll call, oh, I know this DJ, he's Nigerian. And then back then, being African was very rare. If you understand what I mean. So having access to African music, it wasn't even Nigerian.
We didn't even listen to African music at the time.
But we had Two-Face, we had Plantation Boy, we had Blackie, you know what I'm saying? We had all those guys.
But it wasn't cool to play them.
But it wasn't cool yet, you know. But it was our identity as Africans away from in the diaspora that are, you know, not home. So yeah, that's how we started out. I bought my equipment and just started training house parties to college parties. Before you know, those college presidents and college students started turning into club promoters.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
So everybody was growing, basically.
I've always just used my network to grow my brand. And I've always just made sure that I'm in the right network.
Mm.
So those same club promoters turn into big festival promoters or club owners, or, you know, they go on to get married. Mm. Everybody's going to get married. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, I take that back. Everybody's not going to get married. It's not for everybody. It ain't for everybody.
Why are you talking like this? You know I'm married.
Listen, let's just put it on the table. I'll be at TV side. We're going to get in trouble for this year podcast, bro.
I want to get into trouble, but we're going to talk about marriage after this gist. So, yeah.
So yeah, man. I just kind of grew my network. I grew with my network, and that's how the brand was able to flourish. Honestly speaking, you just have good friends that are also as passionate about your brand as you are, and that's really what has helped me out.
Nice. So when you moved back, how was settling into Nigeria for you? What did you just start off as a DJ when you moved back?
It was very hard because I just lost my dad. I lost my dad in 2012.
You moved back in 2012.
I moved back in 2012. But before that, I was always coming home for Christmas. So the truth is, me moving back, even as a DJ, wasn't a brand new thing because every December I was here. We're still doing All Black everything.
Right.
From like,
so you're a foreign DJ coming to Nigeria.
Exactly. See, as Copy They Come or
I love it.
Who else? Tunes, you know, that was me. Eco, how they come into town December, stay for like a few weeks or 2 months. That was me. But then when the Dana crash happened, I had to come back.
He passed in the Dana crash?
Yes, he was on the Dana crash. In the Dana crash. You know, Dana. But, you know, yeah, and since we're talking Dana, if you're a promoter, don't ever send me Dana tickets in your life. Don't do that. That's the first red flag. That's the first red flag. Nigerians do something where they do not do research. I've canceled gigs because the person just sent me Dana. Yeah. I'm like, guy, you're not serious.
Yeah.
Get to know the, you know, it's like coming to sit down with you for an interview and you don't know who you're talking about and someone's asking what's your name. They think that's an interview question. No.
No.
You're supposed to know who you're sitting with, you know. So push that to the side. But yeah.
I don't know if I want to get into the Dana thing, but let's
yeah. But I mean, pretty much we're on it now because that's why I came back.
Did you guys ever get like compensated? What happened?
We still fight low key. We still fight.
Do you apologize to the families?
I mean, what can an apology do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not coming back. You know, we all had a lot of plans and he's not here. And it has trickled into so many different things. Mm. Grief is not anything easy. I'll tell you that. Nobody understands it unless you're in it, unless you're going through it. You never. So that's why sometimes when people pass and it's one of the most awkward things to go and do condolence visits. So I try not to do it. Sometimes
it's tough because
sometimes it even hurts friendships because then people think you don't care. But bro, I've been there, done that. It's very awkward. I don't like it. I want you to be happy. So when I will come to meet you at a certain time after the whole noise of the, you know, passing has calmed down, and then we can have a real life conversation because I know what you're going through. You understand? But it's nothing easy. Especially if it's from a loved one, either parents, siblings, family member, friend, whoever it is, you know, it's nothing easy to deal with. But that was what brought me back. And when I came back, it was hard for me to stop because, like I said, my dad wasn't necessarily happy about it. But one conversation I was happy that I had with my dad was where he broke down why he wasn't happy about it. And I see why. But thankfully, we had that conversation. So I know how to maneuver. He was just worried about the vices that were out there.
Yeah.
And like I said, he was a very strong Christian, MFM. Mm,
so
you know, you're opening yourself up to evil things, the streets, you know.
The streets are evil.
The streets are very evil, you know. But if you have God and you know God, you'll be fine. You know how to maneuver through these things and you pray for a spirit of discernment. You know, it's a funny thing. People think that God doesn't go with you everywhere.
He's here right now.
He's everywhere with you. Everywhere, believe it or not. There are times where I'm DJing in a club and I get a funny feeling. Check my time. How much time do I have left? And once I'm done, I'm out. You know, even filthy vibes, filthy spirits, when they come around, I can sense it. So I'm polite, but I keep my distance and, you know, I say my prayers.
What do you mean by filthy spirits?
Filthy. You know, in the entertainment industry is based off of vanity.
Yeah.
That is our...
Tell me about it.
That's what it is. You know, fake it till you make it. Let me show you I can do it better than you. It's all ego, vanity, and all of that, you know. So it's hard for a Christian...
I really struggled.
You understand? To thrive in this space because, but then what can you do? This is your talent. This is what you know how to do. So the best thing is to dedicate it to God and keep that conversation between you and God and nobody else. Because anybody else will put in that judgmental element and start telling you from their mind what they feel you should do versus what God really wants you to do. You know? But when I came back, it was hard for me to start DJing again because I was struggling with the fact that I missed my dad. He's gone. Am I going to make him proud being a DJ? This is not really what he wanted me to do like that. Popsy was already telling me about, you know, internships at CNN and all these type of things. So he wanted me in the media space because that I was the one that was following that route. But then not necessarily in the party space.
Yeah.
That's right, you know. But I was already in the... He never had a clue of how far gone, you know, with it. He didn't. I think some of his friends' kids here and there would drop, "Oh, I saw Uncle Levy's son. He's a fantastic DJ. You know, he played at my school. He played at my friend's wedding." And he always just call me, "Where are you?"
Still
doing this DJ thing over there. Daddy, no, what do you mean? Who, where did you go this weekend? What, you know, all those type of things. So those things played, you know,
it
played with my emotions a lot. So,
but I think he'll be proud now.
I think, I hope so. And I think so, you know, but, I just spoke to a few people that encouraged me to say, listen, this is what God has blessed you with to make money. I'm not a 9-to-5 person. You know, yeah. I'm a sit down and make it happen kind of person. I'm a go getter. You know, I like structure, but I'm not necessarily structured. You know, so it's just the life of creative, the life of an entrepreneur. So that's really, but through prayer and fasting and just, you know, wanting to hear from God.
You did fast.
I did fast. That's MFM. 3 days dry fast. I do. I'm close my eyes. 4 days self. I'm on a, yes, man. Easy. I don't, you know what's funny? I don't like the fact that when I talk about God, people just try to laugh about it, you know.
I don't laugh you. It, I get I'm it. I'm the star, just, my friend.
It's not, it's not just you. It's just like when I, sometimes when I speak like this, people are looking at me like, bro, how do you know? And I'm just like, why are you, you're the problem because you're judging me. Why are you judging me because you're a doctor and I'm a DJ? You understand what I'm saying? Why are you judging me because you're an engineer and I'm a DJ? Yeah. We're making good money. With, as long as you're good at what you do and you're doing it from a good place, positivity, not negative, you know, you're good. That's how I see it, you know. But I was able to get over all those emotions of whether or not I wanted to DJ again. And I got back on my feet. And that's when I decided to stay. Because truthfully, when I came back, I only really just, I came abruptly because it was death. So I had to go back and pack my stuff, ship some things, my equipment and all that stuff. And I came back, decided to give it a shot. And
so you decided to move back when he passed?
Yeah.
Was it because you were first son, you had to take over
son
things?
Duties, or? You know, and just to be here with family.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of drama that goes on when somebody passes. So yeah. You had that. Literally first on duty to step up to just, you know, be there. You know, you become a man overnight.
Yeah.
You know, literally. So, but I always just pray for the wisdom of God when it comes down to certain things. And that's what has kept me, you know, regardless of whatever you hear outside, God is literally the only reason why I'm still here.
Thank God for you, my brother.
Yeah, so, amen.
Let's talk about Guinness.
Hey, that was a divine idea.
Yeah.
That was a very, so it's good you're talking about that because that was a very strong and very real breaking point for my career in Nigeria. I've come to Nigeria now. I've been in the States for maybe at this point, 8-9 years or something like that. I built a brand in the States. How do I come to Nigeria now and start? There's a huge difference coming home in December. And going back.
Yeah.
And then coming and staying. And you are now the competition different. To all these DJs that normally get their regular everyday gigs. You now want to come and chuck head. And
is it beef among the DJs?
Bro.
Like, for this small club, this is what they
be
do.
Small club, bro. Oh. Be small club. Because it's no, somebody's like, bread it's and just butter. Everybody's... It's someone's bread and butter now. Yes, now.
Also, people feel it's a type of way when new people come into the space.
Yes. Imagine see another new podcaster or, you know, actor, somebody comes into town because, you know, they get phone air, they, you know.
Who be this one? Who be this guy?
This, you get it. And that was really what it was. So, but a lot of times people were asking that question, who is this guy? My manager at the time, Chin, or actually, no, Asa, before Asa was Chin. And we
used Asa
to,
managed you?
Yes. So we used to just try and get certain gigs and they always be, who is Obi? Who is DJ Obi? Who is DJ Obi? Who is Obi? Some people, I've heard of him, but, you know, there wasn't really that stamp of approval. And it was almost like every time we're getting gigs, it was like we're begging for it. Like, bro.
Really?
Bro.
Because I was just assuming that it was all love among DJs. I never really seen
well, not, the, well, there's...
Because you play with a lot of DJs.
I come from a place where I have a clean heart, bro. I have a good heart, you know. So I don't see anybody as competition. I will bring you in with me. I like collaboration. I like to work together because that's how we can create something even greater than whatever idea I had for myself, you know. But Nigeria has taught me that... No, be everybody be Jesus
so
Christ.
So you're 10 to Israel.
you understand? So when I came back, there was a lot of hiccups. I would just be trying to get certain gigs and be like, no, let's go with this other guy first. I don't know this guy. Let's go with this other guy. Oh, no, this guy is my guy. This guy is my guy. Who is this guy? Who is these people? You know that. So one day, at this time, Asa was managing me now. And it was becoming very annoying because Asa was working really hard to get me a lot of gigs because Asa is like a entertainment child prodigy. Like,
yeah.
If you don't know Asa in the entertainment industry, you never blew. You understand what I'm saying? And I was grateful for that. I was grateful for ASAP, for Chin, and some of the other people that have helped me out, you know, on the managerial side. So one day there's a conference, Red Flower PR, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie, who was running Channel O, head of Channel O at the time, came to speak at the conference, and I was attending. And she mentioned the fact that Black Coffee had decided to break a world record at some point. You know, she was talking about people doing big things and great things and stuff like that. I'm a huge Black Coffee fan. Anybody that knows me, Black Coffee is my first introduction to house music. I love Black Coffee strongly. So when I heard Black Coffee, it grabbed my attention. I was listening and he said, oh, he tried to break a world record. He tried to do this, whatever. I was like, what?
Did he break it?
It was an attempt. And he was trying to do it for 4 days or something like that at the time. This was 2016.
What was the record then?
The first record, I think, was 2 days. It started out small. It was 24 hours. Before you know it, someone did 2 days. Before you know it, someone did 4 days. So I was like, oh, this is a thing. Right there in the conference, I Googled it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. In 2016, my career turned 10. So I wanted to do 10 days for 10 years, right?
Wait, what was the record before 10 days?
8.
You said
200 hours, yeah.
The audacity.
But guess what? I had done it already, even at that Wildflower PR conference. In my mind, it was done. So it was just to now execute.
Wow.
But before we proceeded, obviously you fill out the paperwork, do all these things. And you know, sometimes when you have this huge idea in your mind, in your being, you become very restless. So for a very long time, I was very restless as to what this was going to do for me, what it was about, you know. But like I said, I just wanted to do it because I felt like this was going to be a huge global stamp. So I would not only just cover Nigeria, I would cover the world. So nobody needed to ask me who was DJ Obi. If you ask me who DJ Obi is now,
Google that.
It's on you.
Yeah.
Go out, Google me. You understand what I'm saying? And that's really how the world record came about, you know, reached out to a few people. A lot of people didn't believe I was going to do it, but I got encouragement from one of my big brothers that I still hold dearly till today, Kelechi Dozier. When I went to him to talk to him, it was just like, yeah, let's get it. Let's do this. And he just made everything happen. I was like, oh, wait, we're really doing it? I was like, all right, cool. You know,
weren't you scared of not failing after involving so many people?
To me, DJing, I love it. I can, if you put decks here now, I can keep playing.
For 10 days. Did you sleep at all?
So I ended up doing 9. Right. I did 230 hours. I was 10 hours shy of 240.
Yeah.
But I didn't sleep. No sleep at all.
For 9 days.
For 9 days. Nonstop. Promise you, bro.
What were you surviving on?
So the first few days, normal food. The first 2 days was good. First 2-3 days, I was good. So I can say I can easily do 3 days now. No hiccups. I can give you 3 days nonstop.
Of not sleeping. How did your body react to that?
My body started acting up by the fourth day. I started hallucinating. I couldn't recognize my family members. I couldn't recognize my bro. I was having different, like, I'll be.
Why are you not gonna stop?
Why did I stop?
Why are you not gonna stop?
No, why would I stop? I had to get to the end. This was hallucinating at day four. By day four, day five, bro, my body had not rested. My body had not slept. I had not shut my eyes.
So how did you even make it to day nine?
I'd gone 3-4 days now with no sleep doing this.
And I heard that you could not play any song that you had played before.
I couldn't repeat a song within 4 hour window.
Right.
Yeah, so you know,
were there people who were representative of like Guinness?
So now let me give you the real gist, because I don't think, and I want to use this to put this, I'll use your platform to put this out there. So there was no one from the world record office there, because they gave us the advice that we should videotape it. And what we needed to do was video the timer on the camera, and the timer next to me that was counting the time and the days had to align.
I think, yeah.
Right? Which we did. And I don't want to give this guy any more shine than he already does, than he already has. But Hush Puppy was a big influence for this decision, because at the time, Nigeria was going through Boko Haram.
Right.
And Hush Puppy was still in Malaysia popping off, and it was becoming a thing, right?
Right.
At this time, everybody knew it was fraud. I don't know at what point he switched to such a
socialite,
a Robin Hood. You know what I'm but you know, it was now a problem because anything coming from Nigeria was just a hell no. It was fraudulent, right. You know. So even after the world record, I never got my certificate. Yeah, I never got approved just because they did not give it to me. They literally told me they couldn't see my hands DJing. They were coming up with different flimsy excuses. I have all the email threads. They were coming up with different excuses. And then, but we were countering everything. At some point, they were like, oh, you didn't have enough witnesses. Bro, my shit was packed. I had people dancing. I had people, you know, so I had to have like at least four judges to watch me play. It became a thing even during the world record because then Toke would come, Tanya was there, MI came through, Bernard Fino,
people were coming through.
Don Jazzy came and you see, Don Jazzy is such a huge, I don't know what to call him, in the entertainment industry that is like anything he touches turns to gold. Jazzy came with Big N, and Big N is a childhood friend of mine. So people out there that think that me and Big N are just DJ friends, we've been known ourselves. And Big N was coming to support me, and he came with Jazzy. But the moment Jazzy pulled up, and the moment Omaomi pulled up, it became a thing. Those were the two. Those were the three factors, or the three people.
Omaomi is your guy like that.
That's my person. Yeah. But at that point, at that time, honestly speaking, we weren't even guys like that. At that time, we were not. She just came out of love, honestly.
Yeah.
So it was Big N, Omaomi, and Don Jazzy that actually came and made it a thing. So the first night, they blew it up. They, by the time Jazzy posted that, oh, see what Obi is doing. By the time Big N posted it, by the time Omaomi posted it, and the rest of the folks that were coming in, it was like, wow, everybody now wanted. Someone was laughing. Lynx used to laugh and say, I became Madame Tussauds.
What?
Madame Tussauds, like, you know, the wax museum where you go to start with, because people literally just come and snap with me and leave. You know?
Why?
Yeah, people come, or some people come and like, it became a thing for like the entertainment industry to show up. Like, oh, somebody's doing this thing. Have you not go and take your own picture? You understand? So that was really what blew it up. And we kept pushing till the last day. The last day was very, very tough because now at this point, I'm hallucinating. I'm not eating. I think the food went from solids to liquids by like the fifth day. I was just doing juices, quicker oats, fruits. You know, I had to have a medic on ground. So shout out to MedPlus. They supplied all the medicals. Wow. They came to be checked. They came to check my vitals and all of that, you know. And a lot of people just kept showing love. School kids will come and check it. Yeah, bro. Like, I'd be
doing. What were you doing this thing at the time?
At South Cafe.
Wow.
Yeah. Kids would stop by after school or before school. There was this running group that used to run the bridge because the bridge was a thing back then. They would run, come and refresh and like recuperate and refresh at South Cafe and dance a little bit and party and go to work. It became a thing, you know. Yeah. So people just kept showing love. People were bringing me juices. I became a billboard. People would bring me clothes. People would bring me, as long as I snap with it. You know what I mean? I promise you, bro.
Starboy.
People were doing all these things. And it was cool, man. I'm not going to lie. I appreciated every bit of it. It was amazing, you know. But then that last day was really tough. I had to stop because truth is, I was willing to push through, but at this point, my body was done. Bro, at some point, I was pissing in a bottle because, yeah, people didn't know. So they would clear them, they would push them back. Okay, no pictures. You guys stay outside.
So you could bend down,
piss. I would bend down. I would just stand.
Jehovah!
I would just stand.
Shit, no cash you.
Bro, but I got whole arm till because now you have to understand the rule was that I can do 20 minutes after every 4 hours. Yes, that was what it was. 20 minutes after every 4 hours for a break. So in the first few days, I was pushing it to 24 so I can get 2 hours every 24 hours.
To gather your minutes.
Yes. But then after some point, I had to now start taking my breaks every 20 minutes, the 20 minutes after every 4 hours. But then what will now happen? I will come back to start DJing. Peace, don't catch me. I can't move for 4 hours, bro.
So you hold that piece for
them? I hold that piece. But guess what happened the last day? Last day I held that piece. So when I now went to pee, blood.
Jesus.
I swear. So that's why I stopped. That's when my family was like, no, guy, enough. You have tried. Because at this point, I beat the guy's record. I was just setting my own record. So it's like, you've actually done it. So leave it. So when I went to pee that day, I pissed blood for like the first few, like 5 seconds or whatever. And then I had to come out and tell them like, yo, I don't think I can do this again. And like, what happened? I pissed blood. They're like, eh? All right, everybody, party's over.
Put the card. The speakers.
And they took me to the hospital, obviously, you know, for medical checkup and all that stuff. Okay. And I was okay. They let me sleep for like 12 hours straight, but they had to wake me up because at that point, I now found out that if your body is sleep deprived for too long, the next time you sleep, you can sleep into a coma and die. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So but I didn't know that before I started, because if I knew that, you know, I don't know if I would have done it. You know, but that was how it ended. And truthfully, it worked. Whether certificate or not, it worked for me. Because what I wanted was the PR part of it. Yeah. It was a PR stunt and I needed that. And till today, when I go for gigs,
everyone,
once they put my name on Google, they're like, well, bro, are you crazy? You did this? You must be mad. And you know, it's an icebreaker, it's a conversation piece. And when I now get to DJ, they're like, yes, you're a DJ. You really did it. You earned it. So, Guinness World Record. How far?
How far, my guy? Title. My team, bro.
You know, so what eventually happened was that they now tried to make me do it again. They said I should do it again for verification. I said, I'm not doing it again.
I almost killed
myself. What am I doing again? I did everything you guys asked for. You guys didn't want to come because of security risk. I was willing to meet whoever. Bro, Lagos State supported at that point. Ministry of Tourism, Foley Coker was fully involved. He helped me out. So the truth is, I could have gotten whatever approval I needed to get if the World Record Office just said, this is what, but they now said, oh, the US and UK embassies advise them that if they come, they're on their own. Yeah.
and you have to understand that at this point,
Boko Haram news was coming out like every other day.
True.
So even we said the fear, say this thing will reach Lagos, you know, go reach Lagos, you know, those kind of things. So truthfully, I couldn't blame them, but we followed their guidelines. We followed the guidelines that they gave us, you know. But after a while, I had a meeting once with one of my big brothers in the game in New York, Brian Biggs, and he was just like, bro, just leave it. You're great. You're doing good. Just keep pushing and do greater things.
Yeah.
It's doing what you needed it to do. It's putting you in the right rooms right now. People are booking. Bookings are coming in. People are doing, you know, we're doing press.
After the 9 days, after all the press and everything, Kariad got it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. We went straight to, Asa and I were in New York that whole summer.
Wow. Booked and busy.
Straight. Gigs, back to back. Weddings were flooding in from Nigeria. So that's when I now picked up on my destination wedding path. And everybody wanted to fly me left and right to DJ and stuff like that. Yeah, so it did what I wanted it to do, regardless of whether the certificate came through or not.
Was that when Pepsi came?
Pepsi came in 2018, but it put me in a conversation for Pepsi, even though... Man, let me hold my petty tongue. Terry San! Terry San, you see the problem.
Hey, Milfest chairs. Oh yeah, give me this tea.
Oh my goodness, man, Terry San, you put me in trouble, bro.
Why did he draw? Yeah,
Terry San is trying to get me on this show.
My friend, let's say if we sit down, I don't even want to talk many things.
I keep telling her, bro, are you sure you want to show them this side?
I've been very low key
at the past.
Yeah,
you know. I'm very honest.
But they don't know say you did talk.
You understand? Not only in our in-house.
Please, share.
No. You know, Pepsi came in 2018. It's just that, you know, certain people try to take the pride and joy away from it. From you know, enjoying it. But I know my hard work put me there. Nobody say Pepsi fuck, Pepsi husband, put my name there. But I know my pride. I know my hard work. Put me there. You understand?
I can't stand you.
You tested me, bro.
I can't stand you.
So, yeah, man. Pepsi came. That put my name on the list. And thankfully, Pepsi did. Because there were a lot of options later on. I found out. There were a lot of options. A lot of those guys had been in Nigeria way before me and being consistent, you know. But there's something that a lot of DJs need to understand about branding. You need to be able to brand yourself to separate yourself from other DJs. One thing I used to separate myself from other DJs when I came back was that Yankee flavor.
Yeah.
It's not that I couldn't play Nigerian music. You know, a lot of times I couldn't get those street gigs, but the necessary gigs for the right market, you know, at some point my tag was luxury brand DJ and I was very okay with that. People made people try to make me feel like, no, you guys mean go. I'm like, bro, everybody loves luxury. So guess what? Streets, mainland, island, whoever, at some point would they need to aspire.
Yeah, it's like the aspirational bit of it.
Yeah, they need to be like, one day I want to be able to rock with Obi the same way I'll rock with any other DJ. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, man.
Hold on, my G.
Thanks, brother.
So lockdown. Lockdown was when I actually started fucking with Obi. I'm just like, wow, Obi, this guy. And that's how my piano just became a thing.
Yes.
In our end.
I would like to say that I brought my piano to Nigeria.
Well.
I would like to say it.
Well.
Chin hooked me up with the EP Scorpion Kings. And he was like, yo, check this out. It's a new sound coming out of South Africa. And he knows that I love house music. And we were always sending each other like new house tracks. So he was just like, yo, check this out, Mafurisa and Kabza. I've heard about Mafurisa before, but that was my first time hearing about Kabza. So I was like, oh, this is nice. Beach club vibes. You know, we're just talking about what we can do with this type of sound. Oh, you know, South of France kind of vibe, but from Africa. You know, so I was like, man. This was as far back as 2017, ending of 2017, going into 2018. So I was like, yo, dope, sweet.
Oh, this was...
Yes, now why did they tell you?
Now you bring on, my friend.
Okay. So guess what? I had Shisha Room. You know, I have...
Yeah.
As a business
you had
man.
It, like Shisha Room, a place. Yeah. Like, Shiba or something.
Yes. Yeah. And I do Shisha by the Hilton by the poolside now.
That's so, good Shisha, by the way.
Amazing Shisha. Beautiful Shisha pot. You should check it out. If you're in Abuja, go to the Hilton poolside. It's there.
Yeah.
But the Shisha Room in Fola Osibo, that was what we played during the day.
Right.
Before our DJ would come in and play anything else, you were listening to my piano, but you thought it was house music because nobody knew what it was at that point. So that's why my bragging right is that I brought my piano to Nigeria.
Thank you so much.
I started playing it and then I started doing the W bar Sundays and I would play it at the W as well. And that was before lockdown. So going into lockdown, I already had the Ama piano stuff that everybody was hearing already. It was just now getting popular. And then Sponono came, Of Lagos came, you know, all those tracks started dropping. And I was like, oh, this sound is about to take off. Not knowing that...
The takeoff. Full power.
Yeah, facts.
Bro, like, during lockdown, I don't know if I listened to anything else. Like... And this was also my idea.
And I remember because we were always vibing on my piano and it was one of the things because you understood it very early as well.
Yeah,
not just understanding the music, you understood the dancing, you understood the vibe.
I think just before we went on lockdown, I was in South Africa like just before lockdown.
Yeah, that was your first trip.
And I'd gone to the hood.
Yes.
A place called Rands.
Yes, I remember that
Jesus
trip.
Christ, this is heaven.
Yeah.
I'd never seen a group of people dance like that. The boys and the girls are on the same energy. They don't drink like those, their spritzers. I mean, what do they call those things? Those, their beer.
What's it called? Cider.
The ciders, Savannah. Corona and the rest. Savannah. So I felt like they were possessed. It's not a joke. This is me. I'd never, you know, this was not even in the bougie part of Cape Town.
No, this was in
the hood. From the gates to the bus move.
Then the bus move.
The one we don't hide or hide everybody. Yeah. I was like, this is heaven.
And the truth is, they don't need much to enjoy them.
Thank you. Not very sorry for this Lagos. Before the
20 do remain.
Before babe stand up for table, you have to fall down period or finish for that table.
Yes, so.
And she will not even stand up for too long.
But it's always good vibes in SA. And what I tell people always ask, what's the difference between the producers or the people that make music in SA and Nigeria? Not that our producers don't make music out of passion, but passion in SA is very different.
Yeah.
It flows very freely. It's just
love. You can tell that they love what they're doing. Yeah.
You know, you never hear something in South Africa and feel like this is so commercial because it's just a pure sound. You know, even with their hip hop, they do it as well as the guys in the States.
Yeah.
You know, and their house music, they do it as well as their guys in the
Even in the Europe. Way they said they found it at my piano. It's like from the hood, like
from the hood, from yeah,
even DJs
yeah,
that you don't even expect. It's like,
oh, so, that's why there's so many tracks. There's, yeah, there's no amapiano, like, I don't know. There's,
you
no,
know, I even heard that at some point, like, the bougie people in like South Africa, they used to fuck with that sound, right?
But guess what? They started coming to Nigeria and seeing us, you know, fuck with it. I can curse, right? We're good. Okay, yes. They started seeing us fuck with it, and they were like, oh, okay, our Nigerian.
Yeah,
you know, Ikoyi boys.
They like this sound.
They like this sound.
Cause we don't know where it's from. If it's bougie or not bougie,
we just love it.
We just want to coco.
Yeah, and that time as well, like, SA House was also picking up in Nigeria, but it didn't live long because amapiano now came.
Took
yeah,
over.
So that time, Prince KB, even Black Coffee, and some other tracks. Mm. What's his name? Heavy K.
Yeah,
yeah, all that stuff started popping, but then amapiano knocked it out.
How was lockdown for you, though?
Lockdown was interesting. Lockdown was mind-opening. I rediscovered myself in lockdown just because I try to tell people that God stopped the world for me.
For everybody?
I say for me.
For everybody.
I was going through darkness, bro. So, and at that point in my life, like, I was just like, what the fuck is happening with me?
Before lockdown or during lockdown?
Right before lockdown. So going into 2020 was just like, I don't know where my life is going right now, but I need a break. I need to stop. And I couldn't figure out how I was going to stop. And then COVID.
This thing, tell me about this COVID, darkness, please.
This thing called COVID. This thing called COVID happened, you know, and I just so happened to be in Nigeria by myself. You know, so it was a very low point because I went from like no kids to two kids, yeah, at once. So it was a very dark, because I was also trying to rediscover love while losing it. So it was a very like redefining moment for me, and when I needed that to find myself again, to speak to God again, to be like, yo, I think I've been running mad in these streets, and I need you again. And you know, so when COVID happened, I got to like talk to myself. I got to sit down and speak to myself very, very, like, bluntly about everything that was happening in my life and pray for forgiveness. I felt a very huge sense of disappointment because I felt like I was reliving my father's sins. As deeply spiritual as my dad was, you know, when it came to the family side of things, he wasn't, you know, he was the best dad. But relationship wise, if you speak to my mom, he was a bastard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, I was, you know, my stepmom, because my dad got married twice. So I found myself in the same situation, and I was just I was just in a very dark space. This is where I started going out my hair, actually. People thought I was trying out a new hairstyle. No, I was very depressed. I was very, very depressed, you know, and I was just in a very dark place. So COVID helped me just chill, just realize, like, guy, things happen.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up about it. You don't ever go, no matter how far away you go, always remember that you can come back to God. That's what a lot of people don't know.
I think for COVID, for a lot of people, the world like stopped so that we could start again. And a lot of people found themselves during COVID. Like, a lot of people were depressed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel COVID just made the world stop so that all of us can just recalibrate and just...
Mm-hmm. And it was necessary.
Yeah, very important.
I feel like power changed hands.
True.
During COVID.
True.
You know.
True.
And anybody that is spiritually sound will know that, you know, there was a shift.
There was a shift.
There was a very strong shift in people's lives, in the world, spiritually, physically. There was a shift. So it was the best time to run under the covering of God just to make sure that you're on the right side of things.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to rediscover honesty. I had to rediscover forgiveness and forgiving myself. and learning to let go and not, you know, it was a lot. But I thank God that I was able to get, though I'm still getting through, but I feel like I'm at the tail end of it and, you know, coming out of it and feeling like, okay, we can do life again, you know. It was a very dark point, bro, but let me sip us up.
Some good Lipton. But having kids, did it change you? Like, what did it do for you?
It changed me. Changed my hustle. Changed my mindset. It's a different feeling. Yeah. It changed me. It did. Why are you making me just this gist? That guy needs YouTube, bro.
I know, say you want to talk serious. No, you want this one. I know you don't like all this kind of, topic, but just give us a bit. Like, how,
but you know, let me tell you this. And which is one of the reasons why I agreed to do this with you.
Yeah.
I need to start speaking because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Which is why my social media numbers are shit. You know, I need to start speaking. I need to start just, you know, being out there a lot or trying to be out there. Not too much, but, you know, it was a dark point, bro. Yeah. Kids changed my life. Made me more forgiving, because I can't see children as a mistake. You understand what I'm saying? As much as I didn't want it to happen the way it did, it's still a blessing.
Yeah,
you know. So these are the. It's a different level of maturity when you hit rock bottom. I don't even know if this is rock bottom or bare. Like I fall, my back the ground, it did under the ground, bro. But you see, one thing that my dad gave me that I know that will carry me on for life is God. So I just knew that I needed to hold on to God and as tight as possible and just, you know, gravitate towards more positive energy and light and stuff like that, you know. So as much as it was very traumatic for me, or all of it, like I said, I rediscovered honesty. There's a lot of things as men we don't know or don't do early enough, just because I feel like the way you're brought up is very important, right? So at some point, and I come from a broken home, clearly. So at some point in my life, telling a white lie or a black lie was survival.
Yeah.
I almost died when I was 10 from telling the truth because I went to pick my sisters up from school. Mm. Right? After that point, it scarred me. And I'm realizing now, because I have to go to therapy.
Yeah.
To go back to figure out at what point in your life.
You went through.
I'm in therapy.
Everybody needs therapy in Lagos.
Everybody does need therapy in Nigeria. Bro, people that went to that match on Tuesday, they need therapy. Because there was tear gas at that match. Before the match started, bro, I was there with Ahiz and some of our other friends. Ahiz had to help a nursing mom carry her baby because she was choking from tear gas because of crowd control.
Wow.
Yeah, and we had to scramble and look for water to wash their face and all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Nigerians, as citizens of Nigeria, we need, like, as we have hospital, we need, they're like therapy sessions.
I didn't realize until like lockdown that we need
a lot of therapy. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, man, so going through therapy, you have to just backtrack.
Yeah.
You know, so and from therapy, I realized that a lot of times when I was telling the truth, I was getting punished.
Yeah.
But they said the truth to set you free. And it wasn't.
Not from your parents beating them, but I feel like internally.
Internally beating, because it's like, oh, so you did it. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So to stay out of trouble, I tell a white lie. And before you know it, white lies became a thing, you know. And it flows into relationships.
Yeah.
You know, heartbreak can cause things. I remember leaving one relationship, starting another one. And when I started the other one, maybe a few months into it, I ran into my ex at a gig. And off of me being, trying to, you know, start this new relationship and be honest with this person that I met, I mentioned the fact that I saw my ex at the party and my ex was like, oh, long time, I haven't seen you in a long time, we should link up. And I laughed about it. My new girlfriend spazzed. Spazzed, bro. I promised never to tell her anything again. Bro, she spazzed, bro. Yeah. Like spazzed.
Also, I also think that it's because, I mean, most of us are actually broken. It's not even, it's not about only you.
What? Yeah.
It might be our own trauma that was kicking in when,
true that, you know, but I have my own trauma as well. Yeah. And that's why sometimes, well, now growing up as adults, we now know that open conversation, honest conversation, I feel like we, our generation, your generation, whoever, this new generation needs to be more vocal with our kids and coming, even with our peers about life. Let's just talk about things because our parents did not talk.
Yeah.
And they never painted a real picture to us.
True.
They made it seem like it was all rosy in marriages, in or in business. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been crossed a few times, even business wise.
Tell
me things
about
that, things that if you knew when you were younger, you would have known how to avoid.
Yeah.
You know, but the world is a dangerous place. At the same time, it's a blessed place because my God give us, you get. Yeah. So, like I said, I rediscovered honesty. This is the first time I ever talking about it in public, Timmy's son. Rediscovered honesty, you know, and but I had to learn the hard way. You know, my lies caught up with me, and you got.
What do you mean your lies caught up?
My lies caught up with me, bro. My games.
My friend.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You didn't give me two computer game energy.
Which one of you had? Nah, man. This is YouTube, bro. Anyways.
No, but I mean, you can be careful. Like,
yeah, I am being careful. Being careful without, but I also, you know, this is me stepping out of my shell.
Yeah. You're doing so well.
Yeah, bro. I would decline interviews all day because I just don't want to talk or I just don't feel like it, or if it's not just about DJ OB. So that's why if you look online, you will only see things about my work. You will never find anything about my personal life. You know, just because my personal life is very dramatic.
Yeah, but I'm also like very big on saying the things that you're comfortable with. And I believe that you've done a lot of work on yourself.
A lot, bro. Yeah. I like the fact, and I praise God with the fact that I'm alive, bro, because it got there.
Are you in a better place now?
I am in a better place now. I know that I'm never going to go back down that road. I know that I'm never going to get down, you know, go back down that road. I just know better now. So I am in a better place, regardless of whatever the outcome, you know, is. You just need to learn that you've made mistakes and you cannot live with those mistakes. If not, you will not progress in life, you know.
Yeah.
So even things like Obi's house came out of that, because that really came about from just trying to be free and, you know, get back to DJing. You know, in 2021, I had a very serious mental breakdown. I lost my laptop. Well, not lost it. So room 69, because we're talking about lockdown, right? Room 69 came about during lockdown. Room 69 is this R&B live we started on Instagram. So shout out to everybody that, you know, tuned into Room 69. Obi's house started on Instagram as well. You know, but Room 69 took over because every other DJ online was doing party on their live. But then I was doing party, but I was looking for a different niche. And R&B is one thing that I really love. Shout out to Ogwa in Abuja. Ogwa, you know, spoke about it. Links helped me out a lot to putting the graphics together, putting, you know, but Ogwa was the one that actually came up with the tag name. Room 69 for R&B lovers and blah, blah, blah. So Room 69, 2021, Valentine edition, I decided to do it outside in my balcony on my terrace because my daughter was sleeping in the house now.
Right.
But when I finished, I fell asleep in the house because I was just like, I wake up in the morning and pack my stuff. But I woke up to heavy rainfall. My laptop, my mixer, my phone, everything still set up outside. So I literally woke up running to try and get my laptop sorted out. By the time I got it, rained on beat time, my phone, my mixer, done. I made the huge mistake of plugging my laptop to the charger. It fried my laptop. I lost everything, bro. So at that point, I lost everything. And like the next day, man, I just had a really, really bad mental breakdown and just disappeared for 3 days. Yeah.
Where you go?
Prayer City.
Stop.
Yep.
It was that deep.
MFM Prayer City.
You needed that?
I needed it, bro.
Wow.
I thank God. Like I said, if there's one thing that my dad left to me that I'll never, ever trade for anything, what is God? I could have gone anywhere else.
I'm happy you went there. Yeah.
Believe you me, I could have gone anywhere else, bro. I had options. I could have gone anywhere else, but I knew that I was in trouble spiritually. So I needed to fortify myself. I needed to go and cry.
Yeah.
And it's okay to cry, especially to God.
Very much so.
I needed to go and break down, literally just break down to God, that guy, I don't fuck up. Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Help me.
Help you feel better me. After.
I felt great after. God gave me the game plan that's working right now when I was there.
Obi's house on a Monday. I remember I clapped for Obi. Obi, they check this Lagos on a Monday.
On a Monday
I
night.
I know that people could turn up. We don't get work for this Lagos. 9 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
Everybody in Lagos. Like, you know, in December, I was literally counting how much you and Bolivar will probably make. I just count all the bottles with the pass.
You can't, bro.
I say, Jesus, Obi, and these people are in their bag. There's a point where we had to come and call you to bring us in.
Yeah.
They stopped me for Gator Daddy Chris. You know you are stopping, but like,
yes, no.
It's such a success, Obi. How do you feel about the success of Obi's house? Do you think it was going to get this big?
You see, it, like I said, it's a testimony because in Prayer City, when I did try redefine myself, I did try, you know, plan myself, literally, you know, sometimes you like to tag it as our conscience or my mind, they tell me, no, I was praying.
Yeah.
And he gave me the playbook. This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And the key to this is consistency. For a very long time, I wasn't consistent with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I lacked consistency. I would start something and not finish.
Yeah.
This time around, it's like anything you do now, you finish it, because when you start it, you get there, then you just leave it. Why?
Yeah.
You understand? So now, follow this DJ thing. You want to do it well? Leave the clubs.
Yeah.
The clubs are a problem for you because they're a huge distraction.
Mm.
So leave the clubs and create your own thing.
Mm.
Create your own thing that you can control, where you can control the vibe. If I want to play gospel for Obi's house, I feel play gospel. And people vibe to it.
Let me go different.
You understand? Truthfully, because every time I think about it, I'm like, they miss and go do
I will bring handkerchief cover.
Yeah, you understand? So, that's how it started, man. And, but did I think it would get there this fast? No, I didn't. I just thought that over time, maybe people would just be looking at me like, what's this boy doing? But I just knew that this is my game plan. From here, I will do this, 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 and this. So Obi's house was the first one. And Bolivar was part of my healing process. Rashida is like an angel in human form. You know, Rashida didn't know there were times I would come to Bolivar during lockdown. There was no gigs. She didn't know I would come to Bolivar without a dime. I don't know how I would take pay, but maybe I'll call one of my guys. If you call UGK, if you call Dre, maybe they'll come. I'll just tell them, guy, pay for me. But sometimes I didn't need to, because Rashida would just order the food. I feel just, she can even just buzz to say, what are you doing? Come through. It's almost like she low key knew there was something going on, but she just, so there were times where I'll pull up and like, bro, I've slept at Bolivar before, like taking a nap, woken up, or, you know, just, bro, it became my place as much as it was her place, you know. So even when COVID was dying down, fizzling out, and she was getting ready to open back up, to like to the public, it was myself, Richard, Nadi from Escape. You know, I was
Steve after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to Richard.
Richard, man. Richard was the one that actually put Monday in on the table. Yeah, Richard was the one that put Monday on the table. I was speaking to Rashida based on like a Thursday or Friday, because I knew she was now trying to get Bolivar back on his feet.
Yeah.
But then Rashida was like, okay, instead of you doing another one, Richard doing another one, let's all talk about doing something together. But Richard is such a perfectionist. So it was dragging for a while. And then it was not looking like it wasn't going to happen. But then we were trying to collaborate on a different idea. Monday is not that serious or something like that. Mint. Yes, Monday is not that serious. You know, but Richard wanted to do this, do that.
Rashida, he's very proper.
Rashida is a very strong businesswoman. Mm. You know, you can't bully Rashida. Yes. So when it looked like it was falling apart, I had to tell Rashida, Omo, I really need to come to do this like this. I want a Thursday night, I want a Friday, but now it looks like nothing at all is going to happen. And she's just like, okay, cool. If you're down, I'm down. Let's get it. Let's do it. You know, and she was like, what day? But I like the way Richard sold Monday was mind blowing to me. So I was like, I like Monday as well. If Richard is not going to do anything, I'll do Monday and I'll just take my time. Because mind you, my plan was just to take my time to do this thing, yeah, to build it piece by piece.
Yeah.
Go through the strains of rebuilding yourself. If you know this DJ thing is what you want to do, this next level for you is going to blow you up. So if you're not ready for it, this is now the conversation I'm having in Prayer City. If you're not ready for it, leave it and look for a 9-to-5. My network is always there. I can tap into someone to say, get me a job.
Were you going to do a 9-to-5?
Bro,
at that point,
yeah, I was. Because COVID had hit, you know, so we weren't sure how things were going to get back to how they used to be. So I was ready to be like, you know, change a career, do that, maybe move back to the States, find something nice, you know, something, you know. But as God would have it, you know, Rashida was just like, yo, let's get it started Mondays. And it was just myself, Sunshine, you know, my friends, UGK. It was just like 6 of us, 9 of us, Omar, me, Mwaje.
Yeah.
And we would just literally come out on Monday. Obi the DJ, make Obi give us vibes.
We go just the. But you know what? One thing I've learned, and if we also like TV10, the podcast, I just feel like God is very disciplined as well.
Yes.
And if you build something, He will bless it.
Bless
you,
bro.
If you just stay there and build it, literally, He will bless it. So,
literally. And that's how it has, bro. I was in Abuja and people were recognizing me based on Monday night. People were recognizing me based on Monday night.
Do you know what you've done on a Monday? Now you get, for this whole Lagos, now you get Monday. After people close from work, their bosses have 9-to-5. From 7-8, Obi. Now you get, I don't even go anywhere again.
Bro. It's a blessing, bro. And the truth is, I really just wanted to be able to give out good vibes because naturally, I'm a good person. I know I've made my mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I know I've done my dogged. I've had my dogged ways or whatever it is, but that's not me. You know what I mean? I'm really just trying to make the world a better place. So it was really just to sell good vibes, honestly speaking, and it took off, bro. It took off.
I'm very happy for you, my brother.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, great guy. Obi's a great guy. Obi's not my guy. We've like
Timmy's not my guy too.
We don't go through on our tutus, so I don't see. We cannot talk about it here.
Let me tell you. I know that the timing is not even enough for me and you to sit down.
We cannot even speak about certain things. I beg. Make the show not go. I beg. This is my own prayer, CC, please.
Hey, bro. Bro.
But yeah, like the time is not even enough. Like, no, I really want, like, even now that I know some things that you've said now, I'm just like, I want to sit down with you after now and say,
we feel
God, what's up?
We feel ya. Wow. Yeah. But, you know, I also just wanted to, because guess what? Bolivar was healing for me, and I knew a lot of people were going through things.
Yeah.
So it was a thing of come as you are. You know, when you come to Obi's house, we know they check your dressing.
Yes.
Truthfully,
yes.
We're not pressuring you on Dorime or not. We just want to be sure
it's
that
you're...
It's
a very healthy space.
Yeah, we just want to be sure that you're using the table. So that's why we do that table minimum thing. And the truth is, anywhere else in the world you go and party, there's table minimums.
Yeah.
It's a structure.
Yeah.
So I want to use Obi's house to be able to restructure the nightlife scene. I want to be able to use Obi's house to restructure the social scene in Lagos.
Also the quality of people that come to Bolivar, right? So like you can see like... young and upperly mobile people.
Yes.
They might not have millions, but then again, they can do a minimum with their friends. So there's more community with Bolivar, right?
Yep.
I can come to Bolivar and know that I will see maybe people that I know from every other table.
Literally, bro.
They're all vibing. So we're not really looking at that person. Is he dancing? They're not dancing.
We're not checking for anything else. Everybody just see. You can come and sit down. I've had people that I noticed them. They will come and sit down. And you can tell they've had a very strong, hard day.
Mm.
But give them a few hours and you see them smiling and laughing. They probably hit up somebody else, be like, yo, just come through and hang with me. And before you know it, it's a party. You know what I'm saying? And that's really how that's really the vibe of Obi's House, you understand? So that positivity is what we're now trying to take on tour.
Okay.
We're now discussing with
them.
I'm gonna tell you in the next few this is why I'm happy that I'm doing this with you as a friend, because in the next few weeks, in the next few months, before the end of the year, bro, you're gonna hear things and be like, yo, go and watch my podcast. Obi said it.
Yes.
So yeah, man, you know, this is now the vibe we're gonna take on tour. This is now the vibe we're gonna use to spread more love through the Afrobeats way, through Niger way. This is now what we're gonna, you know, it's gonna become a thing, because I'm having certain conversations that I obviously can't say who and who right now, but when it pops off, you just be like, yo, Obi said this, and it's good. It's a testimony, and it's a reassurance that, you know, the God that I trust, the God that I pray to, the God that said, Obi, I got you, forget anything. See, I need to say this. God is not what you hear in church.
Tell them.
God is not what you hear in church.
Well, some churches.
In church.
Well.
Salvation is necessary. That's why I say in church.
Yeah.
Because especially in Nigeria, people just idolize their pastor so strongly.
It's a problem.
That you forget that there's God. Yes, not even that you forget. You know that there's God, but it's almost like you are my messenger to God, forgetting that you can speak directly.
That's the thing. I think like we Nigerians don't even understand the Jesus that we think that we know.
That we know.
And my pastor always says like, if the gospel of Christ is so easy that it will take a pastor to confuse you.
Yes.
And I think that's what's happening to a lot of Nigerians, because they have moved the walk of understanding God to their pastor. So whatever their pastor projects on them is what they take in. But
that's why power changed hands during COVID.
Yeah.
Because church was on a halt. So that village, the village people, they chase you.
My own thing with...
They're not chasing you.
No, my own problem is that the church is so important.
Fellowship.
So that's like the church is us, right?
Thank you.
It's so important for Nigeria, but I really don't want people to now say, oh, church is not important.
I'm even trying to refrain from using the word church. Fellowship is necessary because guess what? Your household fellowship is church. Your prayer at your workplace in the morning.
You got
is
it on two of three.
You understand? Wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. Yeah. So, but the most important thing is your personal relationship with Christ. Your personal relationship with God is what is very, very, very important. If you have that, nobody can confuse you.
That's where I am now. Is that where you are?
That's where I am now.
Thank you, my brother. Just to our life in Christ. Mind you, I don't have all the time in the world. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so happy.
I knew we were not going to be, because just hours on end, But it's cool.
I'm very happy that you are here.
I can come back.
Please come back in season two. Yeah.
Oh, no. Bro, I got you. You got me. You know that outside of all this camera BS, you know, I got you. So, you know.
Fuck you. Camera BS. This is my 9 to 5.
Yes, now, but what I'm saying is on the real, because that's what a lot of people need to understand, that there's realness, even in this entertainment industry.
Oh, yeah, well, there's some real ones.
There's so much fakeness, but there are a few real ones, and that's what I'm learning now. I've lost a lot of friends, bro. A lot of people that I thought, bro, I was calling a lot of people brother. I was calling a lot of people. They open my door. People, they walk inside my house. I
don't know who they open door for anybody.
I don't lock the door.
We meet for outside. We stop there.
That was one of the things I realized was a big, huge mistake in my life. I was so welcoming. And it's not a flaw.
It's a good thing, but it's just like you have to,
but then,
just,
you know, people
discerning.
Misuse it. You understand what I'm saying? And I was always just trying to see the good in certain people. And the truth is, they're always showing me that, you know what I mean? This guy not my bro, my brother. But it wasn't. So now I'm learning with this honesty, the honesty that people really want, some people cannot handle, or a lot of people cannot handle. It's very raw. It can be very rude. It can be very harsh, but it is honest. You understand what I'm saying? And the truth about
I also think that I've learned that, you know what, there's some certain people that we cannot be honest with, not because we don't want to, because we don't even, you have to weigh the level of friendship and openness for you to be. So that's another thing. You can be who you are, but you just have to weigh who you go.
Do it with. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm learning now. So like I said, a lot of this has been me rediscovering myself and finding myself now as an adult versus when I was, you know, early adulthood or even teenager and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I thank God. I thank God that I'm at this point now and I'm finding my feet again, you know. I'm getting back to what I love to do. I really love DJing. I love music. I do want to put out music. People keep asking me, hey guy, this person need drop, this person need drop. Mm. But I always want to do it from passion. And I'm a very patient person when it comes to certain things because I believe God will come through for me. And very soon,
He will. He has.
I mean, he already has, but I just kind of let the cat out the bag. But very soon, you know.
You'll tell me after this.
I go, yeah, you know. But he came through for me solid. Everything that I prayed about when I went to Prayer City, he came through for me.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so. Everything.
My dickiness will be.
Everything.
Oh, my dickiness will be. I don't know why dickiness
will be. Could
I
shower even some of the friends that I have now, God just put me in certain places where, like, yeah. They're like, yo, that's your guy. Yeah. Regardless of what people say about that person, that's your guy.
But I don't need to preach, but you know, so this mention, I always preach for this thing. You understand?
Preach on, bro.
On my couch. But I've learned that, you know, that most of for the beginning of my career, I was struggling a lot because I wanted to do things by myself, my own money. And everything that I've ask God for, once I've prayed in line with his will, I just say, you know what, God, please sort this out.
Yeah.
It's always turning. Yeah, so man. Now I have stopped that hustle. So I'm less stressed now. Those hustle of, I need to be here, I need to please this
thank
person.
You, thank you. Thank
I'm
you,
not in a very sweet space. So I just like, God, let your will be done. Direct me to some of this. It can be very random. I don't even want to talk about things that happen on this podcast, but too many random situations have happened that I now know who's running this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So thank I'm not you. Moved anymore.
Being confident in your originality. So
Yeesh,
I'll
brother.
Tell you this. A lot of times I was shy because I didn't think that I, you know what I'm saying? But bro, I'll say this boldly right now. There are a lot of things I started in Lagos from since I moved back. And this is why I needed to start my own thing.
Yes.
Right? Like for instance, you know, I DJed at SIP for years, you know, and I just didn't see myself as the guy that was bringing all these people. You understand what I'm saying? Bro, when I was at Vapors, we started Bottle Girl Service at Vapors. Jessica, I was watching your episode with Ulo and Abby. Bro, ask Lady. We started our Bottle Girl Service situation at Vapors, but then the girls moved to Quilox and Quilox blew it up. From Quilox, you now started spreading out. You know, what else? Like different parties, you know, you've been to so many parties that have become a thing. But it would just be music by Obi. But you won't know that me and this person sat down. But because the plan was I will cover music and you will cover the door and logistics. That person took all the shine and just ran with it. And at some point, they will probably stop paying me as a DJ. You understand all those kind of things? So I'll just now go back in my shell. Like, God, what's all this? Something where I give this person now. They don't carry on. Go. But bro, Chin and I started day parties in Lagos as far back as 2012. We started the re-up, you know, and we're trying to do it like only for December folks and blah, blah, blah. And it morphed into Grill at the Pent. And Grill at the Pent morphed into all these other things.
You did Grill at the Pent?
Bro. No, they only did Grill at the Pent banquet, but it started off from that day, from that day party vibe. But because we didn't want to always run it for the whole year, we were only doing it in December. But the venue needed something that would run the whole year. And they or me just happened to be there in that position. You understand what I'm saying? There were so many things that I was doing. And I just felt I wasn't getting my credit for it. And I was shy to speak up to be like, oh, na me do amu. You understand what I'm saying? So, but my confidence is back. And it's time to just king this shit all the time. You know what I mean?
DJ Obi, please. I mean, let me sign up to this show.
Hey, listen. It's your boy DJ Obi. Check me out, Bolivar, every Monday, Obi's house on a Monday night. Check out the merch when you come through. And shout out to Temi-san. Listen, proud of you for everything. Every time we just used to gist when he used to sip tea in his room, you know, but he's blown it up. So you guys check out the episode. Follow me on Instagram at DJ Obi AJENT and check out everything that we're doing.
Thank you, and that's the end of my show today.
Peace.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.